Mending Wall, written by Frantic and read by Erica. Without exception, Arthur's favourite part of every day was the evening. He loved sleep, loved slipping in between fresh sheets and dozing off, and that lovely warm feeling just before he fell asleep, when everything was so cosy and muzzy. He made sure his pillows were always fluffy and his pyjama bottoms were always soft, and he never wore socks because he liked to wiggle his toes. He had one stuffed dragon who slept in the bed with him. Nobody knew about the dragon but Merlin, his flatmate, who had given it to him 6 years previously. If girls ever stayed the night, he either hid the dragon or claimed it was a gift from his mum, which usually made them go all soft-eyed. Merlin did not stay in the bed with him and did not go soft-eyed over anything he said, which was the one constant niggle in Arthur's otherwise quite happy life. But he didn't think about that very often. Except always. And that was why night was actually the worst, or best, depending on how he was feeling at the time. Because he was usually too tired to stop himself thinking about Merlin and how very nice it would be if Merlin could be in his bed, and how after 6 years he still wanted it, even though he knew Merlin was straight, and so, presumably, was he. And sometimes he could hear Merlin at night. Their beds were pressed on either side of the same wall, a fact which both of them knew and neither of them discussed or bothered to correct. Some nights he heard Merlin watching television shows on his computer and he was lulled to sleep by the muffled sound of the Doctor Who theme song. Some nights the speakers were pitched much lower and Arthur knew it was porn he was watching on his laptop. A few times Merlin had girls over and Arthur could hear everything. Higher pitched gasps and moans, and underneath that, Merlin's soft panting and the desperate panicky cry he made just before he came. Arthur pressed his ear to the wall for those little cries, tucked them away in his memory for later. He didn't know if Merlin even tried to be quiet. Arthur didn't. He knew Merlin was on the other side of the wall and could hear it. And right there, at the end, when he was about to come, he'd put his hand on the wall and almost feel as if they were palm to palm. The next morning, when he and Merlin had breakfast together, as they always did, whether someone had stayed the night or not, they would awkwardly sidestep the topic of sex in a way that told Arthur Merlin had heard every single hitch of his breath. Other nights, he could hear Merlin by himself. Those were the nights Arthur's fantasies tended to get a little intense. He had a whole slew of them that he avoided thinking about until he heard one of Merlin's low, shaky groans, and then all bets were off. The faceless man he was fucking over the back of the couch became Merlin, writhing and rubbing his cock against the microfiber until he came. He was in the shower with Merlin, soaping him down thoroughly and stroking his thick, rigid cock. The girl riding him was suddenly a lot hairier, and her slick fingers slipped behind his balls and into his arse. And then it was Merlin's tongue lapping hot and wet, where he'd never let anybody touch him before. By far his favourite fantasy, however, was the one he'd discovered accidentally whilst looking for porn on his own. He didn't really enjoy porn very much unless it was amateur, and even then he didn't like the posing and the posturing. But one evening he was so turned on and so on edge, so close to just going into Merlin's room and yanking down his trousers and sucking him off right there, that he got a bit reckless and went looking for gay porn. He typed in free gay porn and clicked on the first thing that came up, then hit the first clip that was longer than 15 seconds. He had his hand in his pants before it even started and barely watched for the first half minute until he realized one of the men was kneeling in front of the other and staring up expectantly as the other rubbed his cock over his lips. "Why isn't he sucking?" he thought, irritated. And then the man's hand spurt up and he was coming all over the kneeling man's mouth. It dripped down onto his neck and the kneeling man closed his eyes blissfully and licked at it. With a jolt and a surprised shout, Arthur came before he had a chance to hit his stride or even grab a tissue, and he had to change his pants, which was all very annoying on top of the fact that he now had a bit of an obsession. He had watched the clip at least 100 times since then, but it had grown quite stale, and anyway, Arthur preferred his fantasy, where it was Merlin kneeling before him and he was rubbing the head of his cock slowly, very slowly, over the delicious, ripe bow of Merlin's bottom lip, making it shiny with his cum. All the while Merlin's hands would be clenching and unclenching and sliding down his thighs because Arthur had told him not to touch. And when Arthur said, "Okay," Merlin's tongue would slip out and he'd lick the head of Arthur's cock just a little until Arthur couldn't take it anymore and came, watching Merlin lap at it hungrily, even as most of it went down his chin. Arthur liked to tease himself with this fantasy as long as he could take it, his hands slow and steady, until he was an absolute mess. Sometimes he wouldn't let himself come at all and would instead turn over and go to sleep. He could go on for days like that, teasing himself at night and then stopping, teasing and stopping, knowing that when he finally let himself go would be so good he'd be left completely wrecked. And the next morning, he'd see Merlin chewing on his thumb or drinking water and licking his lips, and he would squirm and wish it were night again already. He paid more attention to Merlin's mouth than he did his own work, and he loved his work. A person can get used to almost any level of discomfort after a long enough period of time, as long as the discomfort is static. After 6 years, Arthur understood this. His life was quite nice, actually, apart from the fact he was in love with his best mate. He didn't cry or moan about it, although he made a bad decision here and there, like moving from flat to flat with him after uni, because he was helpless not to want to be closer. It just was. Like rain in London in December. And then Merlin changed it up, and Arthur realized it could get worse. Indeed, it could. "Freya's coming round tonight. Might want to clear your underwear out of the bathroom," Merlin said one night over dinner, and Arthur thought with a horrible start that Freya had been round more often than any other girl Merlin had been with. Normally it was a few weeks and then nothing, the same as Arthur. But Freya had stuck for nearly 3 months. Conversely, it had been nearly that long since Arthur had had a date. "That's your underwear," he replied absently and retreated to his room with rice and pot stickers. The thing was, all the way through uni, Merlin had had naff girlfriend after naff girlfriend, all literature students like himself, who cried over him because he was mysterious and distant and withdrawn. Never said he loved them, never let them in. Arthur, of course, knew Merlin was about as mysterious as a dictionary, but he supposed if he were dating Merlin and received one of his cheerful smiles and a pat on the hand when he wanted more than a weekly pub and shag, he'd probably be mystified as well. Freya was different, though, in a way that made him feel sick to his stomach. He didn't always listen at Merlin's wall anymore. Sometimes it just seemed like an exercise in masochism. But that night, he pressed his ear to the wall in earnest. God, that's good, Freya breathed. Merlin, Merlin, I love you. Arthur held his breath, clutching the stuffed dragon tightly and wondering how it got so pathetic. I love you too, Merlin stuttered, and Arthur felt as if he'd been shot in the chest. Not that such a thing had ever happened to him, mind, but he'd read that it felt like being hit by a truck at first. No real pain until you looked down and saw yourself bleeding to death. Without quite knowing what he was doing, he stood and shoved his shoes on, grabbed a jacket and fled the flat, slamming the door behind him with such force that the frame shook. He didn't notice until he was on the street below that he still held the plush dragon and stuffed it under his coat, out of the misting rain. When he returned to the flat at 3 in the morning, Merlin was at the kitchen table, staring morosely into a glass of water. He wore the old, thin grey t-shirt and soft flannel bottoms that always made Arthur want to bury his face in them. Arthur stayed far away from him, afraid that in his mood he'd give in to the temptation. You took him with you, Merlin said softly, pointing to the dragon. Arthur set him on the edge of the couch. I forgot I had him, he replied, feeling on the verge of doing something insane. His chest hurt. Did you wait up for me? Merlin nodded. I heard you go out and thought, it seemed like there was an emergency. Just needed to get out. He felt like he was at uni again, although he never was the emo type then. Too busy pulling, too busy having fun, too busy playing rugby to think about the fact that he wanted to kiss the silly-looking bloke who shared his suite. Why couldn't he seem to get back to that Arthur? He hadn't gone out for a pint in ages, hadn't had a date, had only buried himself in tax fraud in the comfort of laws that didn't make him feel like anything. Merlin pushed his chair back with a screechy shuffle and came to the couch, picking up the dragon. He's all wet. Arthur tapped his jacket, which had soaked through. So am I. You should... Merlin made a little tisking noise in the back of his throat as he touched Arthur's arm. Get this bloody thing off, you weirdo. He let Merlin peel off the wet corduroy and then his jumper, not daring to speak or even breathe too deeply. When he was in only his trousers and his wet, wide undershirt, he finally snuck a look at Merlin. It was sort of an emergency. Yeah? What happened? Merlin had a bit of the sleeve of Arthur's t-shirt between his fingers, rubbing it as if to reassure himself that, yes, it was wet. Somebody I care about, he said. His voice started to shake very badly and his eyes were warm all of a sudden, which was awful. He felt like he was having an out-of-body experience. Somebody I love. Hey, Merlin whispered and pulled him close. Arthur could count on one hand, one finger, actually, the times they had hugged. The last time either of them had put their arms around the other was the day they graduated, when everybody was hugging everybody. It was still strange. They were both so tense. It was like a rock hugging a rock. They did not touch each other if they could help it. Although once in their first flat, Merlin had got terribly pissed one evening, and Arthur had lain on the floor of the bathroom with him all night, stroking his hair with hopeless, lovesick hands as he shivered. He was so thin, Arthur thought, but not fragile at all. It was one of the things he liked best about Merlin's body. Ridiculous and gangly, narrow hips and skinny legs. But his shoulders were broad, and he was so solid and strong. Arthur pressed his nose against the side of Merlin's neck and breathed for a few minutes, loving him so hard. He imagined his heart reaching out and throttling Merlin's for being so stupid. "You haven't been yourself at all lately," Merlin said. "Is there... are you okay?" He pulled away, looking down to see he'd left great damp patches all over the front of Merlin's shirt. "I'm fine," he said, not feeling fine in any way, grabbed the dragon and escaped to his room. The next morning he was able, almost, to pretend everything was normal. Merlin put it about the kitchen in what had come to be Arthur's favourite suit, the charcoal grey with the burgundy shirt and the black and grey plaid silk tie. He had picked that suit out himself when Merlin had first got a job at an advertising firm and hadn't had the slightest clue what to buy. He was at Finnegan and Hargrove now and had long since learned how to pick out his own clothes. But Arthur always thought of it as his suit and felt propriety about the parts of Merlin's body it touched. The tiny silver Merlin cufflinks Arthur had given him for his 22nd birthday. The grey silk Argyle socks he knew Merlin wore under his wingtips. Unfortunately, amidst all that, he'd missed that Freya sat at the table with a plate of waffles in front of her. In Arthur's spot. She worked at F&H with Merlin and, Arthur realised, must have planned to spend the night because she wore her work clothes as well. "Hello," she said, smiling. "Don't you look nice?" He nodded briefly, trying to make his mouth form a smile. It came off rather ghastly, he suspected, although he knew she was trying to be nice. Merlin nudged his arm. "Sorry, I know we always have breakfast, but we're just off to work, and I wanted to make her something." Arthur reached behind him and grabbed a travel mug. "No worries, mate. I wanted an early morning anyway." And from then on, he was awake and out of the door before Merlin was at the breakfast table. He wasn't above being petty and childish, and a rather large part of him felt meanly satisfied at the thought of Merlin having breakfast alone and wondering what he'd done wrong. In December, they held a Christmas party in their flat, as they did every year. Arthur's workmates came and flirted with Merlin's, and all their uni mates, who were still in the city, got drunk and reenacted the incident with the rope, where Merlin and Arthur had locked themselves out of their room and decided to take off their clothes and tie them together to make a rope, which they swung up to a balcony on the second floor. They had succeeded, but lost the rope after Merlin climbed over the railing and then got stuck, shivering and mostly naked and absolutely rat-arsed on the balcony until the girl who lived there let them in several hours later. Freya watched it all, laughing and clapping as Leon and Alfie and Henry enthusiastically called to Morgana to let them in because they were naked and their bollocks were crawling up inside their bodies. Arthur wanted to tell her not to laugh. This was his. Merlin and his memories belonged to Arthur, and she would never have this part of him, but drank instead. By 2, he was staggering about and feeling much more cheerful. Magnanimously, he thought he even rather liked Freya. It wasn't her fault Merlin loved her, or that she sounded like a rabbit when she came. "Hi," he exclaimed happily, sitting down on the couch beside her. She gave him a surprised smile and patted his leg. "This is lovely," she said, gulping at her drink. I imagined you two always having such enormous parties in this flat, and I was right. It's my favourite flat we've had so far, he admitted, even though the sink clogs at least once a week. Merlin's going to miss it. She shook her head. He hasn't said so, but I know he will. He likes it here. He dropped his drink and tried to catch it, but he spilled lager all over his right thigh before he grabbed the cup. Miss it? He asked, heart jumping. I've asked him to move in with me, she said brightly. It's been 9 months now, and I've found a new flat, a really lovely one, so close to F&H. And Merlin said you'd be glad. We're always in your hair.
Excuse me, he said. He shot to his feet, knocking over his drink and not bothering to pick it up this time. It splashed over his shoe, and he felt it seeping into his sock as he went looking for Merlin, and found him bouncing coins into shot glasses, an activity for which he had a stunning aptitude, although he had no coordination at anything else. Arthur grabbed him by the arm and led him from the room to loud protests, and pushed him into Merlin's bedroom, where everybody had tossed their coats, and Arthur's friend George lay curled on the floor, peacefully sleeping. Arthur, knowing George, tucked him out of Merlin's room by the arms and left him in the hallway for the others to step over.
What the hell? Merlin asked, jutting his chin out the way he always did when he was about to be furious.
You're moving out. That's what the hell, Merlin, Arthur hissed.
Freya just told me, for fuck's sake. He had been hoping Merlin would laugh and tell him, no, no, he would never move out. Freya was just hoping. But Merlin looked at his feet instead, guiltily. Did you expect us to live together forever?
No,
he said, wobbling. Yes.
Then why are you so upset anyway?
And all of a sudden, he was in Arthur's space, looking less drunk and more angry, his cheeks going an ugly red.
You haven't spoken two words to me for weeks. I thought you'd be happy I was finally out from underfoot.
No, he said again. His voice broke and he crossed his arms over his chest, breathing too hard. They were completely silent for a moment. Arthur heard somebody squeal outside the window, and then the entire group roared.
Arthur, Merlin whispered, are you in love with me?
If he hadn't had so much to drink, he thought he probably could have lied. He was fairly good at evasion at this point. But he'd drunk his weight, and he was in agony, and anyway, he wanted to confess. It wasn't like at uni when he'd stared at his wall late into the night, his arms wrapped around the stupid dragon Merlin had given him as a joke their first Christmas living together, thinking over how everyone was going to hate him, especially Merlin. He needed to tell someone, and the only person he ever told things to was Merlin himself. Biting his lip, he gave an almost imperceptible nod.
You...
Merlin put the heels of his hands against his eyes.
You utter fucking twat!
He curled in on himself so tightly that it was almost a physical blow. Once he'd confessed to Merlin that he'd wanked over one of Morgana's pink bras when they were 15, and Merlin had laughed and told him there was no secret of Arthur's that could compare to his, and that he could never shock him.
I'm sorry, he said. I don't... Just get... Get out of here, all right? Please.
Merlin still hadn't uncovered his face. Arthur let himself out, stepped over George and walked calmly to his room, locking the door behind him. He stayed there, fully dressed and holding on to the dragon like an imbecile, until he fell into a thin, restless sleep. He woke again around 11 to a silent flat,
covered in half-empty plastic cups, some with cigarette butts, some without. A shower and a cup of tea helped somewhat, but he had that cotton-brained, buzzing sensation that always followed too much drinking, along with a stomach desperately trying to eat itself out of anxiety. Finally, he grabbed the small pad of paper next to the refrigerator and wrote, "Forget everything I said last night. I'll find another flat. You and Freya can stay here. A." Then went to work to get a few hours in. He wound up cleaning his office and organizing files because he couldn't concentrate on anything else and returned to the flat late in the evening, grimy with dust. Merlin sat on the couch when he walked through the door, looking as if he'd been waiting there for quite some time. At some point in the last few years, he had stopped wearing manky old t-shirts and jeans at home and started wearing tailored trousers and jumpers with crisp button-down shirts underneath, shedding all signs of the daffy uni students he had once been. Arthur missed that boy a little bit sometimes, as gorgeous as the polished man was. "Can you sit down and just talk with me for a bit?" Merlin asked. "I'm filthy, just going to shower," Arthur said, twirling his fingers in the direction of the bathroom. "I really need a secretary." "I love you," Merlin replied. He sat down. "I broke up with Freya this morning," Merlin continued shakily, "and I'm still really angry at you because you're a twat, and I think I sort of hate you right now." "Okay," Arthur croaked. His tongue felt too big in his mouth. "But I love you, and I'm going to kiss you pretty soon if you don't have any objections." "Okay," he said again, and they both stood awkwardly and met in the middle of the living room. He couldn't do more than stroke his fingers over the sleeve of Merlin's shirt as he breathed in the same air Merlin breathed, and the same familiar Merlin smell he always smelled in the mornings when Merlin's hair had broken free from the tidy, slick side part he forced it into during the day and stuck up all over the place, and in the evenings when they watched telly in their pyjamas and made fun of the sad sacks on Deal or No Deal. "Since the time we watched Gladiator and you cried at the end," Merlin murmured, leaning in and nuzzling against the side of Arthur's face. "I didn't cry. I had swallowed my water the wrong way," he replied automatically. "And what?" "That's when I realized I was in love with you." Merlin circled his thumb over Arthur's wrist. "I looked over and you were blinking really hard. And yes, you were too crying. And I wanted to kiss you. It was April 18th, 2006. Arthur put his hand down on Merlin's shoulder and closed his eyes, swaying with him for a moment until Merlin tucked on his hand. "Your turn." "Oh, right." He felt pleasantly too warm. "Always. First day I met you." Merlin sighed. "I could kill you right now." "You should kiss me instead, very punishingly," Arthur suggested, and Merlin laughed against his neck. "I think I'm going to take you to bed instead, and I'm going to hold you down and do all the things I've wanted to do to you for 4 years, and then you're going to do the same thing to me." Merlin pulled away, grabbing both hands this time, and pulled him toward the bedroom. "What do you think?" "I think I want to kill me too if I could have had this 4 years ago and mucked it all up," he replied promptly. And Merlin's mouth was the warmest thing he'd felt the entire cold year, so sweet and confident that his right knee, the one that always hurt when he played footy, gave out a little, and he twisted his fingers in Merlin's jumper to stop himself falling. "I meant it," Merlin mumbled into his mouth. "Next time. Not now. I can't wait that long." Next time I'm going to tie you to the bed and tease you for hours with just my fingertips. He shuddered and got his hands into Merlin's sleek hair to mess it up, whispering, God, I really want that. I want that. I know you do. Don't you think I know how you like it, after having to listen to you through the walls all these years? Merlin's fingers slid nimbly between them to undo the buttons of Arthur's waistcoat. They brushed against his belly, and he bit his lip, hips shifting restlessly. I can hear you. I know what it sounds like when you're teasing yourself. I always wondered about it, why you'd start and then stop, night after night. And then I heard you come one night. You didn't know I was home yet, I think. And you were just... You were so... I came without even touching myself. God, he groaned, trying to get a little more air as Merlin patiently undid his cufflinks. I heard you too. All those girls. But you never say what you like. You never tell them. My nipples, Merlin admitted, his voice low. I'll come if you suck them long enough. He pushed Arthur so he sat on the bed before they'd even finished undressing, Arthur still in his trousers and Merlin still fully clothed, even to his tie. Take off your... No, I want to do it like this, Merlin said, placing his hand over the thick line of Arthur's cock through his trousers. You've picked out everything I'm wearing. Did you ever notice that? I always wear things you pick out for me. It makes me feel like you're touching me during the day. And with that, he unbuttoned Arthur's trousers and tucked them and his shorts down to his thighs and put his lips to Arthur's cock with a little moan. Arthur leaned back on his hands and watched with his mouth open, unable to believe it was even happening, as Merlin began to lap at the wet head, gradually opening his mouth a little further and starting to suck. He was a bit clumsy, but so intent, kneeling between Arthur's thighs in his grey wool trousers and blue jumper, sleeves rolled up to his elbows like he was about to work on something. Arthur touched his cheek and Merlin looked up at him, his eyes bright blue and blurrily out of focus, cheeks pink and lips red around Arthur's cock. It was still Merlin, after all, Merlin, who was making tiny little moaning noises through his nose as he sucked, who had his other hand, the one not squeezing the length of Arthur's cock, down his pants and was rocking into his own fist. Arthur's eyes fluttered shut, and he couldn't help it. He was so close. Merlin, he whispered, running his finger over one of Merlin's ears. Merlin, I'm... I know, Merlin said hoarsely, shifting so Arthur's cock just brushed his lower lip, mouthing at the underside of it as he spoke. I want you to do it. Here, on me, on my mouth. I know you like that. And how was he supposed to hold back when Merlin said something like that anyway? He struggled for control but broke anyway, shaking all over. One of his elbows unlocked and he nearly fell back onto the bed, but caught himself frantically because he had to see his cum spill out onto Merlin's lips. It mostly landed on his mouth and Merlin opened it just a little bit, catching some on the tip of his tongue, but quite a bit of it went onto his chin and slid down, over his pale neck, and onto the neat knot of his red tie. Oh, fuck, fuck, Merlin moaned suddenly, his breath panting hot and then cold against the head of Arthur's cock, and Arthur realized he was coming. He curled over as his hips jerked helplessly, his face tight, whimpering against Arthur's thigh. After a few moments where they both gasped for breath, Merlin rested his head limply against Arthur's knee, and Arthur reached for him. Come on, get up. Get out of your clothes, he said softly, tugging Merlin to his feet. Merlin went willingly, dazed and a bit stupid, and Ladatha undress him and Tisk over the state of his trousers and tie. I think we'll need a very discreet dry cleaner for you. When he was naked, he touched his throat and looked at his slippery fingers wonderingly, as if he, like Arthur, couldn't believe it had happened. He wouldn't look at Arthur. All the confidence he had displayed before, gone in a rush of embarrassment, judging by the colour of his face. Arthur rubbed his thumb over the streak of cum, smearing it into his skin. Merlin closed his eyes and shivered as Arthur cleaned him up and guided him to the bed and under the covers. "I didn't know you slept with him," Merlin said drowsily, pointing to the dragon. "You gave him to me," Arthur replied, as if it was the only logical answer, which it was. He was secretly exulting over the fact that, at last, he had Merlin in his cozy bed with him, his head on Arthur's chest and their legs tangled together. And in the dark, neither of them could see the stuffed dragon stretch and preen a little bit, happy that his mission was fulfilled at last.